Well, hello and welcome to our contemporary service here at St Andrew's and All Saints Online here in Malvern. It's great to have you with us wherever you are watching from, and I hope you enjoy just spending a bit of time now just drawing near to God together. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints, and this is Eleanor, my daughter, who's going to help us lighting the Advent wreath today. And Advent, it's that season that we're just beginning. That season of we're encouraged to slow down, to draw near to Jesus, to just let go of some of the rush and the busyness of this season, and to prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas Day, and to remember Jesus' first coming, and also remember that promise that Jesus will one day come again. And I think this season of Advent is just such a good season to follow this last series that we've been looking at, the ruthless elimination of hurry, where many of these practices that we've been looking at, slowing down, Sabbath, silence and solitude, they're great things to intentionally try and practice in Advent time. So let us first begin by just a bit of silence and drawing near to God. Eleanor's going to light the first candle on our Advent wreath. And as we watch that flame, let's just pause and bring our hearts and minds and focus them on God. And do join with me in the responses. Into the darkness of our world, come, Lord Jesus. Into the darkness of our homes, come, Lord Jesus. Into the darkness of our hearts, come, Lord Jesus. O come, Emmanuel.
Until the sun.
Advent is a great season, I think, for doing some family practices together. Some of us have been trying to live out Sabbath in our families a little bit over the last few weeks. We have started to have a special meal on a Friday night together to mark our Sabbath, which is Saturday for me because of working and doing church work on Sundays. And we've really enjoyed as a family sitting round at the mealtime and having a special meal together to do things a little bit differently one evening a week to mark the start of that day of rest for us. And I think Advent is such a time where we can, in our families, or if you're on your own too, just develop some new practices. And Eddie's going to share a practice now with us, which he's encouraging the youth to do. And if you've got young people in your family, you might like to do it alongside them as well. And if you're on your own, then actually you might like to do what the youth are doing as well. So I'll let Eddie explain a little bit more about what he's encouraging them to do to draw nearer to God this Advent.
Hi guys, Dave asked me to share a little bit about something that we're doing with the young people over Advent, because it might be an idea for you guys to join in too. And one of the things I was thinking about is, with all this series on the ruthless elimination of hurry, how do we practice some of those going into Christmas? And one that I thought was really important was this idea of slowing down. And one of the ways we're going to try slowing down as a youth this Christmas is, I've got every single one of our young persons an Advent candle. And me and Hannah loved this last year. We got an Advent candle, and there's 24 days on it. And our one this year has actually got 24 names of God, which is really cool. But the idea is that actually each section, each day, lasts about 20 minutes to half an hour. And so every day we can sit and we can light the candle and have some time to slow down. But also, do you know what else has got 24 in it? The book of Luke. The book of Luke's got 24 chapters. And so what we're going to do as family and as youth group is, we're going to sit each day and we're going to use the candle, and we're going to time ourselves 15, 20 minutes every day where we read a whole chapter of Luke, and we spend time slowing down and focusing on God in this season of waiting in Advent.
And so you can, of course, sit with your normal Bible, your paper Bible there, and read it. Or we found this really cool resource, which is called uncover.org.uk/Luke. And it's got a discussion section here, which has got a variety of different topics people want to discuss around it. It's got Ask, which is, if it deals with some difficult questions about the gospel, you can just read it if you want. Or we've also got
Luke chapter 1.
A very nice man.
Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things.
Who reads it out for you? It sounds like a very nice man, the sort of man you want to take home to meet your mother. So that's what we can do as well.
And of course, the beauty at the moment we're doing this stuff at home is that we could sit and we could do it here at the dining room table. Or you could do it here. You could sit on one of these.
You have been taught.
You could listen to it here.
In the time of Herod.
Or if you want to really relax, how about in here? And so we really encourage you to go and give this a go, whether it's in the paper version of the Bible, whether it's on the Uncover website, whatever version you want to use, do read it through and do get a candle to slow down. You might struggle at Littleton Well. I think after we finished with them, there was 3 candles left, so I'm not going to cause a race, but do go along and get one and practice slowing down in this season of Advent and waiting on God and enjoying his word.
Thanks so much, Eddie, for that. So that's just a great way to just draw near to God in Advent. And I really encourage you to do what the youth are doing and to try and set some time aside each day with a candle to do that. And I particularly do encourage you to look at the website that Eddie was recommending. That way of working through the book of Luke is a really good resource to help us focus on that this month. Well, we want to tell you a little bit more about what's happening at Christmas at the moment. And one of the things you might notice is that I've got a special badge on. A special badge which actually says, Hope in the Darkness, which you can see here. And we this matches up our Christmas leaflets and our Christmas publicity, which is available. If you want any more leaflets, do come and pick them up at church. But we've just got 250 of these badges made, and we want to give one to each member of our church to go around and wear during Advent. It's a great challenge to do, and my hope is that actually as we wear this badge, which simply says on it, "Hope in the Darkness," I pray that actually many of us will get stopped by people who will say, "What's that badge all about?" And that will give us the chance to share something of the hope that we have, and to share something and point people to our Christmas services. We're also going to get some little business cards printed, which I want to encourage you to take a few and just stick them in your phone or in your wallet. And when someone may ask that question, you can then hand over one of the cards, which gives our website on, and it also gives details of Alpha. And I just want to encourage you, this is the sort of thing that we've been doing at the Mission Shaped Living course on Sunday nights. I want to encourage you to pray that actually you will take a badge, have the courage to wear it. It's quite discreet, so it's not too obvious. But it may well spark questions, and to pray that it would spark questions of people who are open to hear something of the good news of Christmas and of hope at this time, and that we have the chance to point them to Jesus. So do pick up your badge from church when you're next around, or pop into the office sometime in the week. Or if you don't want to get to church, then actually give me a ring and I'll come and deliver it to your house for you. And also I want to just say that actually our online Advent Calendar of Hope begins this week on December the 1st with 24 stories of hope from different members of our congregation. That's going to be on our website and on our Facebook each day from the 1st of December. And I really encourage you to not just listen to that yourselves, but to think and pray, who can I share that with who might actually be moved and drawn towards Jesus by some of the stories of hope from our congregation. We can have stories of hope in cancer, hope in dark times, hope towards the end of life, all sorts of different stories of different contexts. Really do encourage you to engage with that and to pass it on to others. And there's one other thing that we're going to be doing, and that's Bags of Hope. And Helen's now going to share with us a little video to explain a little bit more about how you may get involved with the Bags of Hope.
On the conveyor belt today, we have a Christmas pudding, a chocolate teddy bear, a knitted angel, a candle, a chocolate Father Christmas, a jar of strawberry jam, a Christmas decoration, and a box of chocolate biscuits. But no cuddly toy. Now I can hear you asking, what on earth was all that about? Well, we are making some bags of hope, some bags full of Christmas blessings that we can give out to people in our community this Christmas to offer them hope in the darkness. A bag filled with lots of goodies and other things that will help people this Christmas. And why have I shown you the video? Because we would love you to get involved. We would love you to donate items. So you've seen things on the conveyor belt. How many of them can you remember? Why not, when you're shopping in the next couple of weeks and you buy a treat for yourself or your family, buy another one to pop in our bag of hope? Or you might decide to go without something and pop it in the bag of hope. And children, you might choose your spend your pocket money on buying a little chocolate thing or something small that can go in our bags of hope. And then the other thing is to think about, do you know somebody that you would like to give one of our bags of hope to? So maybe somebody that you've got to know over lockdown, somebody you know who perhaps is feeling a little sad or lonely this Christmas, and we'd love to pass on a bag of hope to them. So please do get involved. There are boxes in my porch at the churches where you can leave gifts. You can let me know and we can arrange for them to be collected. But we'd love them all to be with us by the 13th of December. And we're hoping to do at least 60 bags. So we all need to get busy. And I just pray that everyone will get involved Sorry, that was the chocolate biscuits falling over off the conveyor belt. Anyway, bags of hope, bags full of Christmas blessings that we want to share in our community this year, this Christmas, to tell people about the good news that Jesus is, that he can bring light into the darkness of their lives. So thank you, and look forward to hearing from you. Brilliant. Bye.
Thank you so much, Helen, for that. And if you don't understand about the conveyor belt, if you are under 45, then find someone older than 45 who can explain all about the generation game to you. But that's a great way that we as a church family can support and bless those in others in our community. And I know the Borden bags that many of you contributed to at the start of lockdown one were so appreciated by so many. And this is another way that at Christmas we can bless others and give them hope in this time. So the children are going to go off to their activities now, which you can find as normal on the website. But let's pray for them and pray God's blessing as them as they go. Lord, we thank you for each of our children. We thank you for all those young families who've already gathered today on Zoom early bird service. We thank you for what you are doing in them and with them. And we pray that these children, our children, would grow more to know you, would grow more to know your love, and that they would grow more to live out what it means to be a follower of you. And we thank you that as one family of all ages, we can join in with this big adventure of mission that you call us to. So bless them now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, now Nick is going to come and read to us and bring us a reading from Isaiah. And after that, we're going to go straight into a short video reflection, which picks up some of those verses from Isaiah. And I really encourage you to just dwell in silence with that and allow that to lead you personally into prayer. And then after that, Helen Wilkinson is going to come and share God's word with us and tell us all about Advent hope.
This morning's reading comes from Isaiah chapter 9. Beginning at verse 1 and ending at verse 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
You bring your so wonderful to me.
I wonder whether, like me, you've thought that the discovery of a vaccine for COVID-19 has felt something of a turning point in the trajectory of human history. Here, at last, is a way forward out of a year of worldwide devastation, with its dark pall of sickness and death, economic deprivation, and seemingly endless cycle of lockdown and social isolation. Turning points affecting the whole of the planet don't happen all that often. Looking back on the 20th century, we might be able to name some, such as the assassination of an Austrian Archduke that ushered in the First World War. Sometimes they might be good news, like the discovery of penicillin. But frequently they're bad news, such as the release of the hydrogen bombs on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. After that, the world was never the same again. From a Christian perspective, turning points are overruled by the hand of God and ultimately under his providence. And one of the most significant turning points in human history is the turning point that we prepare for in the season of Advent. You see, of all the greatest moments in world history, the two events which are the greatest turning points are the incarnation and the resurrection. The time when human beings turned away from God will be another turning point, but we haven't got time to deal with that one today. Easter is the most important turning point, because Jesus rising from the dead means that death no longer has a hold over us. Eternal life is possible from that moment on. Christmas is the second greatest turning point, because God was born into this world in order to make Easter possible. And Advent is the season that gives us permission to make time to get ready for the true meaning of Christmas. In the days when I used to teach teenagers, I remember that they would skip Advent altogether, and they'd just rush on to Christmas. They'd try to lighten the mood of a dark December day by saying, "Come on, miss, it's Christmas." It was a hint that rather than beavering away on their maths, they'd rather be on holiday celebrating. Waiting for time off was too much for them. "Isn't it Christmas already?" So I'd say to them, "It's not Christmas, it's Advent." A remark that was guaranteed to floor them. They'd heard of Advent, of course, because they all had, whatever their faith background or none, an Advent calendar. But they hardly any of them knew what Advent meant. So if they asked, "Advent, what's that?" I'd tell them that Advent means coming, from the Latin word adventus. Christmas is coming, but it's not here yet. Advent is the bridge time, a time to prepare for what is coming. It takes us from where we are to where we will soon be. It's the beginning of a journey from a place of darkness to a future filled with light and hope. It comes at a time of year when the days are shortening quickly, when light is at a premium. It has its start in the darkest of days, when the gloom gathers so fiercely that it almost feels too much to bear. And this year, with the virus still circulating and some of us shut in for a lot of the time, the gloom is worse than ever. And that's exactly where today's Bible reading begins. Isaiah chapter 9 comes in just at the end of the previous chapter, where we read in chapter 8 of Isaiah about darkness and fearful gloom. But for the prophet Isaiah, a turning point is coming for the people of God. So as we look at this Bible reading together, let's pray. Father God, we ask that today you will make your word real to us. Please speak to us today, we pray. Teach us something new. May our lives be transformed by what we hear, that you may be glorified in our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Look with me, if you will, at the start of today's reading, and it'd be handy to have a Bible open in front of you with Isaiah chapter 9 ready. Because in verse 1 of chapter 9 it says, nevertheless, nevertheless. This is going to be rather like one of those changing rooms type programs where you see the before and the after picture. And then you're taken through a makeover that transforms the old and gloomy formy decor into something bright and shiny and new. It may start like this, the presenter says, but things will soon be transformed. Similarly, Isaiah the prophet says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in darkness. In the past, he, that is God, humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But, and here's what's to come after. In the future, God will honour Galilee of the nations. There may be gloom and distress now. Nevertheless, God is at work on a turning point. Now, we need a bit of background to understand the before picture for the people here. Isaiah spoke these words in the 8th century BC at one of the darkest times in the history of the people of Israel. The mighty king of Assyria had conquered the northern provinces of Israel, Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, had been turned into Assyrian provinces. They were weakened and demoralized. Isaiah uses the word humbled in verse 1, and that literally means they have been treated with contempt. Nevertheless, he declares, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The tide is about to turn. There is a new dawn coming. Even though things look black, God is on the move. For these people, there is a great future. And so we look ahead to the after picture. Because the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those looking in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Isaiah prophesies a new season when the land is transformed. There will be a new era of celebration and joy. It's like harvest time, one of the best times of year if you live in an agrarian society. A fruitful time when the gifts of God's people are celebrated. There will be thankfulness and rejoicing in the very presence of God. Turn from verse 3 to verse 5. God's people will celebrate the end of injustice and oppression from hostility. Every warrior's boot, it says in verse 5, used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And as they enter into a victory won for them by God, God's people will enjoy freedom. Look at verse 4. There will be no burdens, no blows from tyrants. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. The yoke of the oppressor has gone, and they will receive God's peace. The Advent journey, you see, lifts us out of gloom and despair and takes us to a new season of rejoicing. We travel from darkness into light, from despair to hope. It is the zeal of the Lord Almighty that will accomplish this, says Isaiah in verse 7. So what has God done to dispel the gloom? Well, the turning point comes in an event that is both unexpected and astonishing. The answer lies in the birth of a baby. A baby is coming who will turn the tide. This is the Advent expectation. Isaiah proclaims it loudly using the traditional Hebrew form of a public announcement for the birth of a baby. Look at verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase or greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The new baby that is coming will be a royal ruler. The government will be on his shoulders. And more than this, the new baby is divine. He is God himself. The turning point of history is the incarnation. Just look at how amazing this new baby will be. The child that is coming is the mighty God, God himself in the body of a baby. He is the everlasting Father, that is, God the Father, the great I am, from time immemorial. He is the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Son, who came to earth to bring us peace, peace with God, peace with one another, and peace with ourselves. He is also the Wonderful Counselor, God the Holy Spirit, because the word wonderful here has the meaning out of the ordinary or supernatural. The baby has the authority of the living God to bring hope to the world. The titles Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace encapsulate the whole being of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Advent journey is one in which we travel from the gloom of where we are to a Christmas season of joy as the baby is born. It's very easy in a normal year to want to miss out this part, to think like those students of mine that once you're in Advent, you're already at Christmas. But if you miss out on the journey, the arrival isn't half so satisfying or thrilling. I believe that the time of coronavirus gives us a special opportunity to savour the transition from darkness to light. To take some of the ideas that we've learnt from John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and to continue to practice them. Let's welcome silence and solitude as the blessing that they bring. We could take the time to reread some of the gospel stories of people who are waiting in hope and expectation. Zechariah in the temple, receiving a word from the Lord after centuries of silence. The Virgin Mary in social isolation, in a bubble with her relative Elizabeth as she anticipates her baby's arrival. Joseph coming to terms with God's calling on his life and what the birth will mean for him. Or we might take a fresh look at the slow, long journey of the Magi, as they piece together what God's turning point means, not only for them, but for the whole world. You can find some great books for Advent on websites such as Eden Books or St. Andrew's Bookshop, nothing to do with the St. Andrew's that we have here in Malvern, but a website nevertheless for getting Christian books. So for instance, I see that the new Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell, who wrote the book Do Nothing to Change Your Life, has brought out what he calls an Advent calendar with a difference, entitled Let It Slow. To help us on our journey to find hope in the darkness, St. Andrew's and All Saints are celebrating the Advent season with a daily 5-minute video story of hope from one of our congregation members. You'll be able to find it on the website from the 1st of December. It would be great to include that as part of our daily reflections. From beginning to end, throughout the whole of history, God's plan has been to bring light to the darkness, clarity of vision in the midst of confusion, and illumination when all around there is gloom and despondency. At the start of time, we know from Genesis 1 that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. At the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, we read, "There will be no more light. They will not need the light of a lamp." Sorry, "There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." God is the source of light. At the beginning and end of all things, God makes it clear that he is the one true source of light. And in between these two bookends, Isaiah sees light dawning in the darkness. And we can do so too. That's why this reading from Isaiah 9 is frequently used at this time of year. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And when the baby is born, it's as if the sun is climbing high in the sky. As we read at the start of John's Gospel, that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's why it's no mistake that artists over the centuries who have meditated on the baby's arrival have portrayed a child who radiates light. We see shepherds and magi who have hope dawning in their eyes as they peep over the edge of the manger. The baby himself radiates the brightest of light. To see him is to see life in a new way. Here is the sovereign, the saviour, as a baby in human flesh, in real time, so different from how we can have imagined a saviour to be, that he takes your breath away. And so we need time and space in Advent to reflect, in anticipation of what this turning point of Christmas has to offer. Advent is just the start. The light has dawned. A new hope is certain. God has his hand on history, and therefore we have hope. We're going to take a few moments now in silence to listen to what God the Holy Spirit might be saying to us today at the start of our Advent journey. The words come from later on in the book of Isaiah. And the prophet takes us on quite a journey and throughout the book. And as he does so, he repeatedly reminds us that the God who speaks into the darkness and brings light always offers us hope. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn."
Let's join together in prayer then. Let's pray. I'm just so glad that God says not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. And so, Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Advent Sunday and we thank you that Advent is a time of hope. When life seems dark and the future seems bleak, Jesus is the light of the world, is with us guiding and strengthening and helping us. And we thank you, Lord, that he never leaves us, that you never leave us. Help us to share your hope and your light with others this Advent as we look towards Christmas, even though These are dark times with the pandemic. We pray for the Christmas leaflets that are going out from church this week, and may they bring blessing to the homes that they reach, and may it inspire them to tune in to some of our services during this festive time. It's been a week of good news and bad news, as it so often is the case. And even though we're thinking about coming unlocked, there are now tiered systems that we've got to adjust to. And we really pray, Lord, that we all as a nation have wisdom and not go mad and negate what the lockdown has helped us do so far. But, Lord, we pray for our local area. Again, good news and bad news. In the local paper, I read of issues of mental health, of people with limited means, people losing their jobs, lack of housing, and so on, Lord. And we cry to you for our nation, our community, and our town. And we ask, O Lord, that you give wisdom to those who govern us in this local area. But we thank you for the good news that there are new housing estates growing up to provide more housing, that there are new shops being planned in the old Braes building, and there's encouragement from people who are attempting to bring light and life to our town over this Christmas period, and people who are just opening their hearts in care for the community, thinking about them at all levels, children, the elderly, the vulnerable, and bringing good news to them and adventures for them to take part in over this particular time. We thank you for the good news in our nation this week of a new vaccine, the Oxford vaccine. We especially thank you that this seems to be more appropriate for particularly those who, nations who are not so well off, and that it can be produced more cheaply and it can be transported more easily and economically. And we do thank you for the work of that team, Lord, and that we may be able to take advantage of it in the near future. But alongside that, we pray, Lord, for the bad news from the Chancellor's review earlier in the week, where gloomy times seem to be forecast, and it is difficult to think of all the debt that we will be in and how that will be repaid, how unemployment will rise, and all these issues we will have to face. Lord, give us fortitude and strength as we think about these things in our country's future. And lastly, Lord, we pray for we pray for the world, Lord. We pray and we thank you that you are the light of the world. We thank you that Jesus brings life and hope at all levels in our world today. And I don't know which country or which area you would feel you would want to pray for today. Maybe it would be Lebanon, where we have Eloise and we have Mike Basuse, and we have other missionary partners in Tanzania, with Ben and Katie and our friend George. Maybe it's Peru. Maybe it's North America. Let's just pause for a moment where you can have your own prayers about the nations and where you have friends. Lord God, we pray that you would bless those working tirelessly for you in other parts of the world. Meet their needs, we ask. And now let's join together in the prayer that unites us worldwide, the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for evermore. Amen. Amen.
And so as we draw our service to a close, we're going to sing our final song, and I really encourage you to sing out at home. We're going to sing out Who That Baby Born in a Stable 2,000 years ago. That baby prophesied in Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Who that baby turned out to be. The waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. And as we sing this, let us just ask God to give us a fresh understanding of who Jesus is, of what the hope of this season is, that when we're out there wearing our badges, when someone asks us, that we can tell them of all that God has done for us and of what difference that baby Jesus' birth made. Let's sing Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle.
that is who you are.
And so a final blessing. In our watching and our waiting, come, Lord Jesus. In our hopes and our fears, come, Lord Jesus. In our homes and in our world, come, Lord Jesus. Come bless us and surprise us and send us out to live each day for you. Amen. Just a reminder that next Sunday, actually, we're back to having in-person services again. Well, actually, from this Thursday, we've got our midweek service, which will start again at noon on Thursday. And then next Sunday, we'll have an in-person service at St. Andrew's, where we'll show an interactive showing of the contemporary service online with perhaps a live preach. And at All Saints, we're going to have our in-person service too at 10 o'clock there and at 10:30 at St. Andrew's. And also next Sunday evening, there's something really special happening. So this Sunday we finished the Mission Shaped Living course that's been on Zoom for an evening service that many people have been doing. And next Sunday we're going to have a celebration of that, and we're going to invite anybody else to come and join us for our Zoom service. And we've got a special guest speaker, John McGinley, who actually wrote the course, who's going to be Zooming in from his church in Leicester, who's going to come and give us some teaching and come and answer questions and lead us in some ministry as well. So it's really not to be missed. John is a really good guy and has lots that he can teach all of us. So I really encourage you to join us for that Zoom service. Details are on the mailing. Do connect up with our Advent calendar, as we've already mentioned. And we pray that this Advent, this first week of Advent, you will draw near to God, and that will empower you to go and live for him in whatever he calls you to do, wherever you go on your front line. So God bless, take care, stay safe, and we look forward to connecting again together next week.